Hi, how is everyone? How are we doing? I really appreciate everyone's commitment to fall footwear and fall wear in spite of fall actually existing. Really appreciate that, ladies. I thought I was going to be the only one committed to attire. But thank you all. So I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to be having today. I won't walk you through what the pamphlet says, but we have a wonderful audience of incredible professional women here. And I'm excited for them to talk to you about their professional stories, their challenges in coming into this tech space, and talk to you a little bit about how you may activate to go out and get yourself into a tech career. So before we get started, I'll briefly introduce myself. My name is Kay Jones. I'm the CEO for CodeUp. CodeUp is a software development program that's run out of San Antonio. And we offer a four-month immersive course where we teach people how to become software developers. And then we provide them with employment assistance once they graduate from our program. So if you don't get employment from CodeUp within that first 6 months, we actually are on the hook for getting you half of your tuition back. So my team's very motivated. So a lot of people talk about for-profit education or boot camps. We refer to CodeUp as a career accelerator because we're really here to help you guys get your hands on an actual software development career once you graduate, not just having the education. So I want to pass over to Kariya Francis to introduce herself, and then we'll move down to Courtney Scarta and April Downing.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kariya Francis. I'm Vice President and Director of Research at GSD&M Advertising. You may know some of our clients being Southwest Airlines and Air Force and Chipotle and Popeyes, but my main role there is to oversee the research for the decision sciences team, which are called analysts, our strategy teams that work with the creative teams, and then the media department that works with all of our media vendors. And my job is to bring technology to our agency in a creative way and making sure that we can execute that.
And I know Kariya sounds extremely technical. She told me that her way into tech is because her mom made her get a job. So we can talk about that as we get into this, too.
I said I wasn't going to talk about
that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And Courtney.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Courtney Scarta. I am the Vice President of Racker Experience. So people are always looking at me and they say, what is this job you call Racker Experience? And really, my job, along with my team, our job is to make sure that Rackspace is a company that people want to come and work for and continue to work for. And so we have programs and initiatives underneath our organization around diversity and inclusion, specifically around elevating women in leadership, also community affairs. There specifically, it's about our Rackspace giving, but also our Racker, those are what we call our employees, our Rackers, but our Racker giving. And then last, but definitely not least, our actual employee engagement and making sure that that stays where it needs to be so that we can be the service company that we set out to be. So Rackspace is a company in the technology space. What we do is technology, but really what we are at the heart of us is a service company.
Great. Hi, so I'm April Downing. I'm the CFO for WP Engine. I'm also head of people. So I wear two very different hats. People are like, how do you reconcile that? And I'm like, well, I'm a little split crazy. So it's actually part of my passion is really what do you do for the advancement of the people in our organization. WP Engine helps deliver incredible digital experiences online. We have over 55,000 customers in over 130 countries, and we have over 400 incredible employees, some of which who are here, so thank you for your support. And really excited to share with you guys today, what does it mean to get into tech? I've been doing it for over 20 years, and there's no single path. So it's really exciting to be able to share different experiences with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, we're excited about the topic, and so I'm going to jump right into some questions with these amazing women up here. I would love to understand, April, just while we're kind of hovering around the topic, what are you actually doing these days to help others get into tech? Diane talked a lot about using your voice. How do you use your voice?
I'm really loud, so it's really easy, first of all. I spend a lot of time mentoring. I mentor people who are already in tech, and I mentor a lot of usually young women who are thinking about what does it mean for me to be able to get into this tech thing. And I think one of the things that I try to share with them is be ready to fail. And that's okay. It's also important to recognize everybody is always learning. As women, we want to be seen as experts. We want to be seen as we already know the answers. It's hard. You know, it's hard for me even today to put myself out there and be like, I don't know everything. So what I really encourage them to do is to leverage what we call your superpower. So your superpower is that thing that you actually may not be the best at, but it's the thing that gives you your most passion. It's the thing that when you talk to others about it, you want to lean in, you want them to engage with you about it. If you have a superpower, regardless of what it is, you can find a way to contribute in tech. And so I encourage people, figure out what that superpower is. The other thing is, you have to invest in yourself. Sometimes that means taking a pay cut. Yes, I know. Sometimes it means not getting that title that you want. That's okay. If you are really wanting to invest in your future, and if you want to be in tech, you gotta take some sacrifice. And so that's the things that I share with people when I get to talk to them.
So before we drill down, what's your superpower?
Making the complex simple.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll call you later. So you talked a lot about investing in yourself. I agree. Extremely important, right? So I would love to hear from Courtney. What do you do in your current role to actually develop your skills and to advance your own career and to invest in yourself?
So I'll start with a little short story. So I've been in the tech industry for almost 17 years now, and the majority of that time I've spent on the sales and marketing side. And this past year, I made a huge jump into HR. And when I started out in the tech career, HR was a place that you didn't want to have to go, right? Because as a leader in sales, if somebody was going HR and you were being pulled in HR, you were doing something dreadfully wrong, right? And now I'm here and have really realized that it's actually it's the foundation to which everything else can grow upon, which is awesome. But I had a thing that happened to me about 6 years ago, and I was at a sales leadership event, and our leader asked us to go around and talk about what we had done for that year. And at Rackspace, we are known for embracing this idea of servant leadership. And so as you can expect, you went around the room, and everybody said, well, I did this for so-and-so, and I really spent time mentoring this person. And we get to the colleague next to me, and he said, you know what? This year was all about me. I developed myself. I met my financial goals. And I remember thinking, wow, what an incredible jerk, right? This guy has got it completely wrong. And then fast forward 6 months later, and I actually had the opportunity to be a part of our development program for a specific cloud portion of our business. And we got to go back over actually to the University of Texas. And I stepped back in a classroom. And for the first time, I would go six times out of the year, and I would spend two nights away from kids, away from, husbands, ex-husbands, you name it. I was there just focusing on learning. And so that taught me at that point that if I wasn't the best that I could possibly be, and if I wasn't being selfish and investing in myself, that I couldn't make the people around me the best that they could be. And so now, as I moved into HR, I mean, really, it's been about learning. And so I spend time finding and seeking out the experts. Who are the experts that are around me locally outside of Rackspace? But then who are the experts here? And asking questions and being curious. I loved that April said always be learning. I think that's so true. I also say always be curious and go and find that person that really is that deep-seated expert and gain and soak up as much of their knowledge as you can.
That's awesome advice. It's really interesting. You talk a lot about just adaptability there, and it draws me to be curious about what you ladies have had to adapt to in terms of coming into the tech industry or being a part of the tech industry, the challenges that we face as women or just as workers. Kuria, could you talk a little bit about just how important is adaptability in this space and even leveraging your previous skills?
It's quite interesting because when I started my career in advertising about 20 years ago, and for those of you who were not only alive but knew what was going on 20 years ago, you would recall that there was pretty much four or five different networks. There was nothing called digital or the internet. You had radio, you had television, and you did one thing at a time. And now, over that span of period, you're on your cell phone, you're talking to your counterparts and your family in your room, you're watching television, you're looking on the internet, and all of that is causing information to come out. We call it digital exhaust. Basically, your cell phone is giving out information, your car is giving out information. And so what has happened in advertising, when before it was kind of a Mad Men sort of way of thinking, which was creating a great advertising television ad, people kind of connect with, everyone knew what Where's the Beef was about, everyone knew you get a Coke and a smile. But now we have to engage with you in so many different ways, and it has to be something that's inviting. So being agile over the years and adapting to the way that the consumers are ingesting the information has caused you to always stay in the phase of learning. My classmate from when I was getting my master's at the University of Texas, we went through a lot of adaptability. I'll tell you all that afterwards. But what I learned is, even though it was 20 years between my bachelor's and between my master's, getting both of those degrees, I loved being a student. And when you're engaging in the world of technology or digital or whatever your goals are, you have to love to learn. So if you're in a job or in a situation where you don't want to learn anything more about that topic, I mean, all these ladies we've seen today have encouraged us to move, whether it's left or right or forward or even sometimes backward to what you're saying as far as pay cuts or maybe title changes. Because if you don't move or you don't learn, you stay stagnant, and it causes more of a problem, not only internally yourself, but for your family and friends. I always say, you either work on your 8 to 5 or your 5 to 8. I've worked really good on my 8 to 5. I'm horrible on my 5 to 8. And that's where I'm saying that most people need to work on the life balance and be agile and be adapting to what is faced.
Amazing. So on the topic of learning, this is one of the hardest things I think for me. I came into the tech space, I don't actually know how, guys. I met Rackspace in an amazing moment in my life, where I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up and Rackspace knew for me. I wanted to be in hosting. So that's what I did. And I came into tech not knowing a lot about tech, not knowing a lot about the language. I walked around, much like flashcards I have today, I walked around with Linux and Windows and various things written on them. I would love to understand, what have you ladies done for yourselves or for your teams? How do you learn in tech? How do you actually go and seek that new knowledge? Courtney, do you mind kicking us off with just what you do?
Sure. So I think that when I started, so I, like you, you know, I had a degree in public relations and had this really earth-shattering realization that I was not going to be on TV right away. People were not going to pay me to come and be their spokesperson. I was actually going to have to write copy and earn my way, and oh, by the way, I can't get myself out of debt doing that. And so it was actually a girlfriend, and funny enough, I ran into her today in the bathroom, and I haven't seen her in probably 10 years, and I called her because we graduated from school together, and I said, hey, I just heard that Dell is doing this massive sales hiring. Do you want to skip out this afternoon, and you want to drive up there with me? And sure enough, that's what we did. And I don't know how, but we got hired. And when I got in, you know, I didn't know what a server was. I didn't know what a computer was. And they taught us. We had a 2-week boot camp. And right after that, I remember talking about being agile. The first thing that they said was, hey, congratulations. You guys are all earned, you know, your sales jobs. But those jobs have been actually eliminated. And the good news is you've got 90 days or 30 days. I can't even remember at that time to find a new one. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And so immediately, you know, I had this decision, am I going to let this define me or I'm going to define that, right? And so of course, I was like, well, I'm going to define this. And so I just started networking. And I ended up meeting someone who was a technical sales rep. Again, this is like the technical of the technical. And he says, hey, I've got a spot on my team. Do you want to join? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he was like, well, I have a spot on the team. And I said, sign me up. And so I literally spent time, again, going and seeking out those experts, buying people coffee, buying people lunch to let me listen. All I needed to do was listen. And then I would write down questions and ask questions. And then I would take whatever book. Give me, what book do I need to read? Was the one I remember that they gave us at Rackspace was like, it was like server hosting for dummies or something like that. I mean, seriously, starting out at the basics and finding whatever I could to get my arms around so I had this, you know, this minimum knowledge. But that's the same thing that's happened whenever I've jumped from sales into marketing. How do I figure out what PPC is? How do I figure out what SEO is? Then coming over into HR, what is our position on diversity? What does inclusion mean? Work-life balance, does it really exist? All of those things, going and finding those experts, but finding those resources where you can just learn.
And I'd say I actually am probably shockingly, I'm actually a horrible techie. I don't read any books that have to do anything with tech. If you were to ask me to describe our tech stack, it would be super high level. So I think one of the things that I've found, in, at least in my career, and I've been an executive, a C-level executive, for over a decade, is that I learned just enough. So for my role, what was really important was understanding what drove the business. What were the outcomes we were trying to achieve, and what were the levers to pull to get there? And so what I've learned is to not encumber myself with too much detail. And so I've learned to stay really, really high level. And so the thing that I do, similar to you, is I seek out the people who can translate all this into this, because that's about how much I can actually understand. And so when you have those kind of people, you can rely on them. When you're falling into, oh my gosh, I'm not sure what I'm hearing is right, and what does this really mean, you can lean on those people, again, to help you digest it, to help you translate it. But what I've found is I stay really high level. Otherwise, I know I'm just going to fall short really, really fast.
Jealous because I can't stay high level. I'm sitting here going, really? There's an opportunity like that?
Fortunately for me, yes.
So I think, you know, you alluded to it earlier. My experience has been trial by fire. I graduated from UT with a broadcast journalism degree, so Courtney was going to be my public relations person because we were probably having the same thoughts at the same time.
That's right.
But we both, our dreams were shattered.
That's right.
But we're here. We're here. We're happy to be here. Yeah, right. So when I graduated, I went back to Houston, and I just thought it was like a little vacation, and this is what she's talking about. And my mother came in one day and just explained to me that I could not stay there for the rest of my life, and I needed a job, and this was pre, you know, insurance till you're 26, so you really had to go and get a job. And so I loved cars, and I opened up the newspaper, and I looked, and it had an automotive ad, and I just went in, and it had an aptitude test, and this is where I would like to highly suggest that sometimes what you're good at is not always what you like to do. So I walked in, took the aptitude test. They said, we'll pretty much not call you. And I said, okay. I went home. That's true. That's what they said. And I got home, and I sat down on the couch, and my home phone rang because I still didn't have a cell phone. And I picked up the phone, and they said, oh, would you like a job? So apparently I did well on this aptitude test. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took the job, and the whole point was to be in a training situation. And when I got to the airport to go to my first training trip, the person that was my trainer, his grandfather passed away. And so I was 2 weeks into my job, and I had to go to a dealership and train a group of men on their new computer system.
Everybody loves new computer systems.
Correct.
Everybody's always really happy to see you.
Correct. So I had to learn very quickly, and at the time, I still remember practicing in the hotel room about what I was going to say because I had to come in as the expert. But it just shows you that 2 weeks before that, I had no idea about what the system was, and then I had to go in and train people who've been doing this for 20 years and act like I was the authority at the age of 23. And what I learned by that is don't be afraid about a subject, because sometimes when you break through the glass or go behind the curtain, it really isn't as complicated as the people who do it make it seem, simply because they want to secure their jobs, they want to appear to be smarter than you. All of those things keep coming into play, and so don't be intimidated when you see a list of what you need to have, because a lot of times people feel that if you have potential and you're a good fit, they will make the job work for you.
Absolutely. It's interesting. You had an amazing opportunity to self-select out of technology altogether. Mm-hmm. You could have gone running and screaming into the hills out of fear for what you didn't know.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of us have faced that. I think it's a common theme for us that self-selecting out is a tempting thing to do. So I would love, if you don't mind, Courtney, could you talk a little bit on the theme of just self-selecting, how to avoid self-selecting out of tech?
Well, you know, it's funny because I thought about this earlier, And then I actually ran into, you know, I told you the story, I ran into my girlfriend in the bathroom. And what I realized is that, you know, part of what has enabled me to stay, enabled me to grow roots in a great company like Dell, and then enabled me to have the courage to leave and join Rackspace and to grow roots there, is that I found a support system, and I created a support system around me, right? So to get to that interview at Dell that I would have never done, I called my girlfriend, and she was like, sure, let's go, right? And we went, and we interviewed together, and then we went through training together, and then the training, we made more friends. I had a really great pocket on the sales floor at Dell, and there were women that were anywhere from 5 to 10 years older than me. And they were there to shepherd me through not just figuring out this technology thing, not just figuring out how to survive and thrive in sales at Dell, but also, you know, they had babies and before I had my baby. And they helped to shepherd me through that. And then they were the ones also that gave me the courage to say, hey, you're ready to go. Go try this new thing. And then when I started at Rackspace, then it was trying to figure out, again, how do I build this network around? So I think that part of the reason that we don't necessarily select ourselves in is because we don't think that we can do it. Many times it's because we don't see examples of people who are doing it that are like us. And I think that partly it's because we actually don't take the time to really look that it's not just what people represent visibly, but it's also, you know, your backgrounds or where we're from or, you know, what degree we got in. And so I think that's the first thing, is to don't self-select yourself out just because you don't see many people that look like you. Find the other pieces and the other common thread that runs through you, but then really take the time and make the investment to build that support network and nurture that network, and then start to also invest back down. So as you get some success, start to pass that on to other people and teach them how to do it and tell your story, right? Because your story is really powerful.
Yeah, April, it seems like you may have something to add there in that lend your expertise moment. How does that affect your ability to transition from one industry into technology? What does it look like to go and lend your expertise?
That's a great question. So I actually was pulled into tech, kicking and screaming. So when I graduated with my master's from UT in accounting, I went and worked for Pricewaterhouse in Dallas, which was then Pricewaterhouse. And you got to select when you went into your start class, you got to say, which industries did you want to do? And literally it was like this list this long. I selected every single one except for computers and technology. And I said, I can do anything except that. Now I grew up in Austin and I knew what Dell was, and I knew it was like some hardware thing with some kind of interface thing. Now I'm really dating myself. And I had a mentor who at Pricewaterhouse, a man who has been a mentor for me for over 2 decades, who said, you've got to come try this tech thing, this software thing. And I was like, software, I don't even know what that means. And he said, it's a gaming company, just try it. And what I actually found was, it wasn't that it was unnecessarily that it was tech, it was that it was a tech company. And what I have found so much is I'm addicted, I mean literally addicted, to the feeling of being around tech companies. I had my own failed startup, which, by the way, my family was so excited when I stopped doing it, so I stopped making Christmas presents. They were like, oh, please, go make money so you can actually buy Christmas presents. So everything from that to companies that are and taking them public. But there is a feeling that is palpable within a tech company. Different sizes, different scale, different stages, of course, they mean different things, but there is a move fast, what is our manifest destiny, this feeling of there is nothing that's really holding us back. It's all people driven. It is really all people driven. And so what I found is I got addicted to being in a tech company.
Yeah. I relate to that addiction. There is something about it, I swear. There's something just so energetic. And you get into a space where everyone's a snowflake and they all have these unique, amazing things to offer to your company, and you just want to kind of harness it. It's amazing energy. I similarly fell in love with just technology. It's not the hardware, it's not the software, it's the people that gravitate to it, that are unique, that are strong-minded, that are innovative, that are progressive. And it's just so inspiring to be a part of this industry every day. So in any way that you can go and take your previous experience and start offering it to the tech community, you'll be amazed at what the tech community gives back to you. So I love the comment there. I would love to just kind of talk a little bit. You gals have all touched on something very interesting around femininity in tech. And I would love to understand, and Kerr, if you don't mind kicking us off, how do you manage your own femininity and your own strength of being a woman in a space that is not dominated by women? How do you balance this?
Yeah, well, because I work for an ad agency, it's a technical component to the advertising world versus the reverse. And so, you know, honestly, there are people who roam our halls that don't necessarily look like they have jobs at times.
And then,
So,
well, it's because it's a creative environment, and so people need to be creative, and that's one of their outlets. But for me, when I used to be in the media department, and I got moved to the information technology department, and when that happened, it was a seismic shift for me, because the media department is mostly women, and then moving into a department that was mostly men, and the tendency is to be, you know, talking about sports or talking about other things that may not be always linked to women, but that's not true. I'm a big Texans fan and Texas fan, so that was very familiar to me. So the way that you keep that is actually being yourself, not being overly feminine or trying to assimilate into looking or appearing to be like the rest of the guys, because the reason why it's important for you to kind of hold your own is that being a woman or being African American or being Hispanic or Asian or whatever you bring to the table, you really need to keep your identity so that way you can bring a different perspective. One person once said to me that, you know, it's not about a melting pot. They like to see it more as a salad where everybody stays the way they are, but what they bring to the table really enhances the whole dish. And so I think that a lot of times when we get into these jobs where there's not many, a situation where people look like us, regardless of what the situation may be, the tendency is to try to assimilate to what they're doing. It's not to change them, but to just make sure that you hold your own and who you are, and people respect that and remember that. And it takes you far when you remain who you are.
I love that. That is powerful. Who's not going to remember that analogy, right?
Like, I'm totally stealing
we've
that.
We've talked about, no kidding. When y'all aren't there, I'm going to claim that as my own. Because seriously, we talk about melting pot all the time, and the salad's a beautiful analogy to work with.
Well, it's not mine, so.
Oh, well, we wouldn't have known. See, that person wasn't here.
Yeah,
that's what's
going
to happen to you guys. It's great. No, it's interesting you say that. I do. If I go back in my head, I remember, and for those of you that work with me at Rackspace, you know, 12 plus years ago, I think I was rolling in jeans and Rackspace t-shirts and ponytails and making sure that I blended in as much as possible. And it's really interesting. Courtney, what about you? I mean, what's your experience been in that space?
I actually wasn't good at it at all. No, I suffered from I suffered from imposter syndrome for a really long time. I was taught growing up, whether it be athletics or schoolwork, whatever, you find the best and you go be like them. You figure out how to do what they do. And, you know, whether it's a batting swing or whatever, you go and emulate them. And so I had a really hard time because I really tried hard to be like all of the guys on the tech sales floor. And it was awful. And I was awful. And I like high heels. And but it was exhausting, actually, because I tried so hard and I worked so hard at being who I was not innately who I wasn't, and it was exhausting. So I think one day I just crashed and I was like, I just can't do anymore, screw it. And it was at that point where I said, well, maybe I'll just try being myself, you know, because I can't be, I wasn't even good at that. And it's funny because it's when I was able to do that, that's when my strengths came through. And, you know, I had a professor at UTSA, and her name was Dr. Amiso George, and she said, define your niche market and exploit it. And I was never able to find my niche market until I was actually who I was. And what I found is when I was the only woman at the table, and from me, I am servant, at the heart of me is a servant leader, and I care about people. And I used to think it was bad when people said that I was a great people manager. And because I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to be strategic. But what I figured out is that I got people, and I knew what made people tick, and I knew how to communicate to them, and I knew how to bring that out. And that was something nobody else in the room could do. And so when I started leaning into that, and I was who I am, and I am a persona, you know, and when I was able to do that, that's when my career really began to take off.
So I'm a total tomboy. So in high school, when all of my girlfriends were going shopping and hanging out and going to the movies, I was out hunting with the boys. So that's always been part of my mode. Like, I love the outdoors. I love being with the guys and hanging out. With my first paycheck at Pricewaterhouse, I went and bought golf clubs. And I spent my entire first paycheck on private lessons because I knew that the partners would go play with the staff every Friday afternoon, and that if I didn't know how to play, I wasn't gonna be part of that. And so I was hell-bent. And I was a pretty good golfer by the time I was done after 5 years. As soon as I left public accounting, I never picked up another club. So that was the imposter part of me. I actually do believe in playing the game. I know it's horrible that sometimes we can't be ourselves, but I do believe that there's times in your life that in order to have the opportunities, especially as females, sometimes we have to play the game. And so I played the game a lot. I would smoke cigars, I would drink scotch, I would hang out with the guys, I played golf, I would, you know, all of the things. I would, you know, laugh at their stupid jokes, even though I was like, oh, really, that's so immature. But it was, it really did. It helped me get where I got in my career. I'm so fortunate now that I'm on a leadership team that's over 50% of us are female. And so now I'm in a position that to be authentic is part of our everyday. And that's a really great feeling. But I'll tell you what, if it came down to it and I had to do it all over again, I'd play the game again. Because I think it was really important for me in getting where I am in my career.
That's amazing. Mm. That's amazing. There's a lot to be said for supporting the group mentality and the group behavior, but it is interesting to hear how many of us have struggled with that thought of wanting to blend in with your crowd and wanting to fit in. I don't know how many glasses of scotch I had. I don't like scotch. It's not great. I'm kind of a vodka.
Unfortunately, I didn't get that.
Yeah. Right?
Didn't do it.
Not for you.
I didn't. No, yeah. No. It's hard for me to blend in sometimes, but
yeah, shocker.
Yeah. So I'm not good at it.
That's good. Seems like a good quality to have.
So I would. This also is another great example. Yeah. There's
exactly.
Nobody has the same path, that's and what right. worked for you know April didn't work for me right. and didn't work for you. Right. You know, and so this is the great thing about it is exactly. that you know it's figure out your own path and keep trying and you're gonna fail and try again. Yep.
Yep. Right. There's no right way. There's no right time.
That's right.
Right. I think a lot of times people get nervous about what is the right time to get into tech. What is the right moment? And you know, Courtney was saying earlier, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a perfect moment, right? Like the time is now. Come bring your skills. So I would love to understand, April, you were talking about a dominant female staff. It's obviously, I'm sure, intriguing to everyone here. What are the skills and the experiences that you're seeing women bring into the space today that excite you and inspire you most?
You know, I think it's much more than just a skill set. It's a mindset. And
awesome.
I think they've both said it so perfectly. Being authentic, being able to be vulnerable, being able to have the different perspectives. I love the salad analogy because that's exactly what I love about having more of a women-dominated leadership team is that I find that fosters that. You have real conversations. You have real collaboration. I'm not saying that you can't have that. I'm saying I've never had that. So other people may be like, hey, I'm on an, you know, mostly male-dominated leadership team. We have that. Great. I've just never seen it. And so I think for me, it's more of what are the approaches? What's the mindset? What's the characteristics? What are the conversations you have versus skills? Because you can learn any skill. For me, it's really that engagement. And I think, too, one of the things that really resonated that you talked about is being a people manager and a leader. Those can be very different, but I think it also has to go hand in hand. And so I love being part of a leadership team that really invests in people and recognizes the value to the organization is only through its people. And again, I don't know if that's because it's primarily female dominated. I don't know if I'm just super fortunate to have the wonderful leadership team, but it's absolutely something that's been different for me.
Very cool. Courtney, talk a little bit about what our audience here can do in terms of obtaining that experience she's talking about. Where do you practice authenticity? Where do you practice these mindsets of progressiveness and investment? Is it just going out and offering your skills to startups and to mentoring communities, or cool. is it bigger than that?
I think that's a great option. I think that you have to go and seek out, back up. I think the first thing you have to do is figure out what's important to you and what you're really good at. And, you know, so what I think about when I sit down and talk and I'm mentoring somebody for the first time, all I want to know is, you know, have you even thought about, you know, what you would like to do? Because there's so many people that haven't even thought about what they want to do next. Right. And then sit down and actually have an honest discussion, ask some people for help. I always talk about having a personal board of director, people that'll be your blind spot checkers, you know, and ask them, what, these are the skills that I say that I'm good at. Am I really? Give me the skinny. And then, you know, so you've got that list, then you need to make that other list of what are the qualities that you're going to have to get to that next place that you want to go to. And then what do you love doing? What do you like doing? And what do you hate doing? And it's important to be very comfortable with that, because then you'll start to build your non-negotiables. And as you start to decide what your dream job is, like think of me, you know, I thought that I was going to go be on TV without having any, you know, without doing any of the groundwork. I wasn't willing to do that. That writing copy wasn't something that was a non-negotiable. So I had to go find another path. But I think until you have a really honest discussion with yourself first, you don't know what you need, you know, you don't know which way you're going. So have that discussion. But then go seek out, you know, if you decide that tech is what you want to go into, there are great communities within every city. Austin has Austin Women in Tech. In San Antonio, we have Tech Block, which is a community of a bunch of different companies that have come together. And then we have a separate division of that that's emerging called Women of Tech Block. I just Googled in Dallas before we got here, and there are Dallas events. So in every city, they're going to have those. Start to go there. Go and mentor. Go and talk about, see what skills are needed, and then you can figure out how you can contribute, and then the learning will just happen. My being there.
That's great. Before we open up for Q&A, I would love to know from Kura and from April, could you guys talk about what step these folks could take? Courtney said, you know, go out, get involved. What's the piece of advice that you want to leave with the audience before we hit Q&A?
I think that looking at opportunities that are always obvious, I think people tend to go to a bigger company like Dell and Rackspace and think that you have to get a lot of learning from there. Actually, you get an opportunity to learn more at smaller companies because you have to do a wide variety of jobs, and it allows you in not so big of a stage to make your mistakes and understand all the different avenues that you can take it. You know, there are technical people, obviously, at an ad agency, at like an HEB, they do a lot of technical, Whole Foods or the Irwin Center, anything that you see that has any sort of infrastructure, they have a technical group that does that. So even if you may not think about being in technology, being in that atmosphere or being in that place, you get to kind of have the best of both worlds. You still are in that environment, but you're not necessarily doing that exact job, but you're part of the team that makes things happen.
Tech by osmosis is the best.
Correct.
I would just say, if you really you want to be in tech, why is that you say you know you want to be in tech? We've talked a lot about the addictive nature of it. It is super fast-paced. It is a fail fast. It is a constantly learn. It is priorities are shifting a lot. So there is a pace associated with it. So first of all, you have to recognize, is that an environment in which you can thrive? If yes, then what are the avenues? What are your superpowers? Where can you get in? I can tell you from an operations perspective, so everything from finance, accounting, legal, people operations, HR, learning and development, even into your, some of your customer support, all of those are areas, facilities. These are all areas you don't have to know tech to be very successful. So if you're interested in being in a tech company, think about some of those opportunities. I also talked a lot about investing in yourself. Take a role that maybe you could have done in an insurance company or in a banking environment or in a retail organization in spades, and maybe you need to learn that into tech. Go back a couple jobs. That's okay. I promise you that you'll be accelerated really fast forward around the things that you can accomplish. And then the other thing is we talked about once you're there, invest in others. I know all of us spend a lot of time investing in other people and making sure that they're given opportunities. So when you make it where you want to be, make sure you're helping invest in others so they can get where they want to be.
Absolutely. Okay, so I do want to open up the floor at this point for some Q&A. I know we have a couple of microphones set up. Or if you're bold and you just want to shout out, that works too.
We got a bold.
There we go. We got bold right here. Now, there's a microphone behind you if you'd like.
So I am actually a racker. I've been a racker for 6 years.
Congrats. That's like 14 cat years. No? No, it's awesome.
I'm actually a person that made the transition from business to technical. Awesome. I went from an account manager to an engineer. And so my question
Congrats.
Is, you've talked a lot about how people can go out and try to become technical. But my question is, for the people that have made that transition and gone out on a limb and taken pay cuts to mm-hmm. be who we now think that we should be, what do you suggest for those people to kind of hold the hands of these people that we see, you know, see value in? Like, we think that it would be great coding. Like, you have that mindset. It's definitely something that you can see in people. So what do you suggest for those types of people, the ones that have done that already?
Hold their hand through the fear. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would say it's your organization needs to help make that happen. You know, I know a lot of times size of company can make it difficult. For WP Engine, we actually track how much we promote people out. We have people select in to say, hey, I'm interested in this. Or we have others in the organization who will say, hey, we think that we shouldn't be investing this person. We think that they've got these skills. And then we do a personal map around how can we get them to be there. But again, I mean, we're 400 people, and so there's an intimacy still at that size of company. You know, I think you're probably best equipped to talk about, from a Rackspace size and perspective, what are the ways that you can help identify that and make sure that that happens?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing is that you made the switch, right? And so talking about your journey and how you did it is something that's really important. And then start sharing it. Share it, and are you in Austin? Just start sharing it in Austin and start sharing that journey, because there are other people that you already see, but there are probably, I don't know, tens of other people that are just watching from afar that don't even have the courage yet to come up and admit to themselves that that's something that they're interested in. And then ask for help. Come get me. I'm happy to help in any way, but if you're in other companies, if it's a larger company, go to your learning and development. You know, start to look at how you can partner with other companies like CodeUp. But yes, get them help, right? But just take the time to invest in them. And then, you know, if you're in a big company, you know, ask for help and pull us in.
I would like to say that even though I'm in advertising, which is slightly different, getting in the creative field in advertising is very difficult, and a lot of people feel that they don't have that opportunity or the talent to do that. And we had one person who started a school, and it's a small school, and he's giving opportunities to people who want to take an alternative route. And what has happened is that a lot of the agencies here in Austin are tapping into that school to get people. So, and it's their friend, it's his friends, honestly, who are taking their personal time to with them. So, I'm sure Rackspace will give you the space. You can use social media, obviously, as a way to get quote unquote students who might be interested and coming up with a curriculum to help them make that transition.
And the only thing I would add to that is truly hold their hand through it. I saw Grace sitting next to you. Grace is one of the people that many years ago I stopped her in the hallway and was like, why aren't you a leader right now? So if you see somebody that you feel like they have something that you want to lift up, lift it, right? And you know, open yourself up to being their sounding board of their own fears or their own reservations. All the way in the back. Oh, come to me. Oh, my people. It's great. Awesome. That's amazing. And, you know, this, you're just like teeing up a company plug for me, so I'm sorry, but www.codeup.com. But there are programs, and I know CodeUp doesn't exist in every city. There are programs in so many cities that will offer you a hands-on experience in very specific languages and provide placement services also. But truly, that's why I talk about CodeUp as the career accelerator that it is, because it's important to find a company that's committed to your outcome, not to your income or to your spend, right? So find that company and that program that's really committed to getting you to that place you want to be. What else do we add, ladies?
You know, I would say, that kind of passion and aptitude is what companies will hire for. When they see that and they see that passion, they see that aptitude. If you and I were sitting across the table talking over coffee after I got to know you a little bit better, I would say, you know what, you should go look for a technical support role. That may not be what you want to be doing in 5 years, but guess what? You won't be. But right. Technical support, you know, for WP Engine, we actually do almost a 3-month onboarding. And so that 3 months gets you set up for success in that technical support role. And then once you're in there, we do continuous learning and development opportunities. So our goal is to promote over 25% of our team every year. So look for organizations that will invest in you. Again, maybe not in the role you want to be doing in 5 years, but who cares, right? 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, then you've got an entry level into that. Just make sure you understand what those paths are. So look for organizations where you can get in at a lower level from a tech perspective, where they will invest in you, and then you'll continue to rock it because you've got that passion and that aptitude.
Yeah,
that's my recommendation.
I started at Rackspace in collections. Just to put in perspective, right? So I did collections in college. It was one of my 97 jobs that I had through those many years. I still had debt. It's this amazing thing about the educational system. But I will tell you, starting in collections, it was powerful, right? I saw the meat of the company from the ground up. So I would just advise, like, in any way you can get your foot in the door, what great advice, go get that job and then navigate your space. Over here, I saw a hand go up. Right. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Right, because of the lack of tech on your resume. Interesting.
I think speaking from a sales point of view, when I was applying Adele, and again, I was at the entry level, I'd actually made my way up into a management role. And when I came to Rackspace, Rackspace at the time was less than 1,000. It was like 930 something. And they didn't understand or know or believe that my management skills at a big company would translate well to a company at that size. And I had no other experience to show that. And so even though I had tech experience, even though my quota was, you know, $23 million a month versus the, you know,
entire revenue of
5,000 I was going to have monthly, it didn't translate to them. And they could not, because to hire at a company at that size, every single headcount is so important because you can't bury it anywhere. And so they really have to know that a person can come in and feel fairly confident that they can be successful. So I actually took a step down. Manager at Dell took a step down, and I was an entry-level business development consultant, which is a rep. It's an install-based sales rep. I took a step back down, and I ate a lot of money to do it. But I needed to prove to them. And I knew, though, if they gave me a shot, that I could prove to them. And, you know, probably 4 months later, I was managing a team on a different side of the business because they could believe in me.
So if we were sitting across the table having tea, what I would tell you is it's so competitive. And so I think that's where it comes into play is, if you can find someone who has that tech experience and they know that, you know, they can talk the talk and walk the walk, it's just so competitive. So what I would recommend is smaller companies are in desperate need for people like you. And so can you get yourself exposed to some of those smaller companies? A lot of it, again, is risk reward, right? You know, smaller company can be riskier, but that might be a great way for you to get that experience. The other thing that I recommend all the time is freelance. Do freelance work. That is a great way to get exposed to lots of different companies, either just to get the experience or to basically, you're basically interviewing for a job. And so those are my two recommendations for you around how do I really get into that? How do I compete head-to-head with people who have the same experience or maybe even a little less, but they've got it in tech and you've got this tech bias? How do I get around that? That would be my recommendations.
And there are companies that do contract work, but there's Capital Factory and other companies where you just have to get yourself into the community so you're a person and not a piece of paper. And that, I hate to say it, is how it is in pretty much any, if we were talking about whatever we would be talking about, it's the same thing. You just have to put yourself out there in a different way.
That's cool.
It's true.
That
you're trying.
That you've put the effort in.
Sure.
Very fair. Right over here in the beautiful blue.
Well, Vanessa.
As soon as she raised her hand, I was like, I feel like I'm back in class when we had to drill each other. Actually, you're absolutely right. Your brand is what makes you. And so building that brand within your company is so important. And sometimes it is honestly using politics to your advantage. My mother gave me one of the besides tell me go get a job, the best piece of advice was that everybody has power, even the receptionist, even the janitor, or people that you feel are invisible, and because they have information, they have knowledge, they confide. There is a different ways of getting information. You have to use politics in order to help build your brand. I know it's kind of the dirty side of business, but it's true. And so when you get into a certain set of circles, it's much easier to navigate to the level that you'd want to be in because sometimes you're absolutely right. Doing a great job, putting a great product, doesn't always translate into a promotion or, more importantly, money. So using politics to your advantage and consider it survivor.
That's great advice. Anything to add, Connie?
I think, too, building credibility. I know when I went from such a big company like Dell into Rackspace, I think the first thing that I had to do is really understand what were the great skills that I learned that are going to be useful at Rackspace. And I'll actually help to raise my brand. But then what are the things that actually that I gained or learned from Dell that are not applicable at all and that I'm actually going to have to unlearn so I can relearn in the way of the company that I was working at now? And I think being smart enough to and humble enough to say that you don't know anything in the way that this new environment is really important. Seeking to understand, I think, is critical. And then just doing what you say you're going to do. And doing that again and again and again and asking for feedback and listening and then going and helping others. You say it's politics, but I always think that politics is relationship building when the intent is bad. To me, the flip side of that is just relationship building, right? When the intention is good, it's relationship building, you know?
I'm trumping it, am I?
Yo.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh, it's great.
Ditto.
Yeah, I think they've hit it on the head, right? I personally operate in a space of just, I think I have to ask myself a series of questions when I'm trying to make sure that I'm carrying forward authenticity and self. And I go through a series of, is it right for the customer? Is it right for the company? Is it right for me and my team? And if I can answer those questions with a solid yes, and I can support the delivery of an outcome through those filters, then I'm building a really amazing brand that way. I think somebody hit on humility, but extremely important to be ridiculously humble, because you're going to fail miserably over and over, and that's okay. You're going to be surrounded by people failing miserably over and over, and that's okay. So I think, you know, bringing forward that humility and being really, really conscious that is it right for the customer, is it right for the company, and is it right for me and my peers, puts a nice filter around your level of authenticity and your ability to actually deliver on your word, right? Great question. What else, folks? These are awesome questions. In the back in the sweater, and then I'll come right here in the black shirt. Yes.
Jacket.
Yeah, it's a great question. So that's actually a really great question, and I'll just be 1,000% honest with you. I didn't, for the first decade of my career, I didn't think about anyone else. I didn't. I'm really fortunate in the last 10 years, 15 years I've been doing this, that's when I've really started embracing other people's goals as my own goals. I lead people now. I've been leading people, organizations for over 15 years. And once you adopt other people's goals as your own goals, that makes a really big difference. But when I was starting out, for the first, it was probably first 10 years, it was all about me. So I think one of the things that I would tell young people starting off in their careers, is more like what they've said. Be true to yourself. If there's something that you just don't think is right, speak up. Now, who you speak up to may be the key. So, I know that...
feel free to call us first.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You should know within the organization who are the people who can be advocates on your behalf. Your voice doesn't actually have to be heard directly to make an impact, and it can help shelter you. And so, we use our HR, we call it employee experience, people operations team. That is something that they do all the time. I have people come talk to me. I also head up our diversity and inclusion, which I want to talk to you about, our diversity and inclusion. So we have very much the cone of silence around people who come and talk to us, and we will be that voice. So I would say find the people in the organization. If there's things that you don't think are right, go talk to someone and make sure that they can elevate that. If you don't think there's anyone in the organization, you can call me and I'll help you find that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're going to take us home with our last question here.
Just really quick. So I think it's amazing that you guys have, through your life, had all these women that have helped you, and then along the way you're like, this has been the message. Pass it on, bring it forward, keep doing that. Have you come into a situation, though, that maybe somebody tried to block something on you,
Oh, yeah.
You mean today?
I'm going to tell you really, I'm super passionate about this, because someone is actually dealing with this in my company right now in a different way, thank God. I worked for a woman, and when I first got out of public accounting, I worked for a woman, and she was super tough, super hard. She's actually a very accomplished CFO here in Austin for another company. And I kept wanting, I'd had a baby, and I wanted to go part-time. And we were in a position as a company, we were growing super fast and super crazy. We couldn't hire more people. And I just kept getting told, no, 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 no. I literally had to give my resignation letter. I took it to her and I laid it on her desk. And I said, you either let me go part-time or I'm quitting. And so absolutely, women are not always advocates for other women. Absolutely not. So
the strongest women are advocates for women.
The strongest women who are confident and who are sincere and who have passion, those are the advocates you have. But I'll actually tell you, the biggest advocates actually in my career have actually been men.
Me too. I will tell you too that I think I had a boss who was a woman, and I really, really struggled with her as well. And finally, I tried to change the lens, right? Because I didn't have a position of power, and so I would have loved to be able to resign, but I was in San Antonio trying to find a tech job, okay? And so I didn't really have even a place where I could see a position of power. So I remember one day I went in and I sat down and I looked at her and I said, I just wish you would understand that I want you to be successful as much as you want to be successful. And all I need to know is what you need me to do to get you there. Because if you win, I win. And I'm here for you. And I remember she said that and she broke down. And she said, this is what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, let me help you. Let me go and be, you know, I'm here to work for you. Just communicate with me and be straight. Don't block me, right? Bring me with you. And it was, again, just being, you know, it took me a lot of guts. Like, I remember calling my ex-husband out, but I remember calling him, like, well, I'm about to go have a conversation. I don't know how this is going to work out. And he was like, oh, God, you know, good luck. So I think you just, you know, you have great instincts. We all do. But just try to change the view. Try to change the frame and try to see, you know, the lens that they're seeing it through.
Very true. As you go up the ladder, I always say the closer you get to the sun, you realize it's a light bulb. because
oh my God,
as you keep going up the ranks, you're revealed more information, and you now understand why people do certain things. And before you write your resignation letter, make sure you're okay with them accepting it. I just want to put that out there.
Right.
And to that point, it is critical to just understand that the person that sometimes is blocking you is not really getting a benefit from you being there. And I'm so glad, because that's exactly where I was going to go. Everything is a value exchange. When you sign up to be part of a company, you are selling your time and your expertise, and they are providing you money. I mean, that's exactly the bottom line. So if your goal is to understand why this person is blocking you from your dream, see how you can actually benefit them. You know, what did they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I sound like the place I work with is like this crazy house. It's a wonderful place to work. But the truth of the matter is that everybody has an agenda, regardless of what their intention is. And so it's just understanding what it is and then using it to your advantage.
Yeah. My daughter and I have been having this conversation a lot lately. She's in eighth grade. It's a tumultuous time. There's a lot of strong opinions around her. And, you know, we've been using this phrase that will not surprise anyone: if they go low, you go high.
Right.
We've been having that conversation a lot lately because I think it matters. And I think that's the one thing as a female leader and a CEO of a company that has, you know, female staffing also. It's extremely important to me that I am helping my female staffers get equal opportunities and still have the benefits of enjoying their life at home and their kids and all of those things and balancing it. And their balanced needs are different than my male staffers' balanced needs, but they all have them. And it's my job to service those, right? And to treat them equally and to treat them, you know, with the same kindness. So I think it is one of the hardest things that we have to accomplish is just making sure that as female leaders, we aren't the barrier to our own success or to others, right? Okay, so are we wrapped up at this point? We are cut off, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be, you know, running away. We'll be, I know I'll stick around. I think these ladies have a couple of minutes to stick around and take any questions you might have for us. So thank you all so much for joining us today.